strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford.
With the fifth pick, the Arizona Cardinals select Patrick Peterson, defensive back, LSU.
There is no substitute for speed.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And by Cardinals Podcast. Visit azcardinals.com/iTunes.
Bang! There it is.
He got it! Touchdown, Arizona!
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
Unleash the fury!
Oh, the sun is setting here in Flagstaff. And more than one way, it's setting both beyond the San Francisco peaks and on Training Camp 2011. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. It is Ron Wolfley over here, fresh off hitting the dining hall. Have no idea what you're going to do, Wolf, this time tomorrow when you're going through withdrawals, because there you are able to eat with impunity like an offensive lineman three times a day. And all of a sudden, that won't be at your disposal there. Paul Calvisi over here. You turn each meal here at Cards Camp into a spectator sport. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Paul, you know what? I thoroughly recommend the jambalaya this evening. The jambalaya was excellent. So was the shrimp creole.
Yeah. Not as loaded, though, your dinner plate as this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. I'll say that right off the top. Not only the two of us, let's not bury the lead here. We have the GM Rod Graves right around the corner.
Yes.
I'm curious how you judge a training camp. I want some criteria on how the Cardinals have checked in that regard. Darnell Dockett is on tap, and Darren College, who I saw moments ago in the cold tub. So he'll be wandering over here. How about you?
Was he getting another tattoo while he was in the cold tub, Paul?
No, but there were some icicles off those tattoos. He was in the cold tub. How would you go ahead and judge or rate a training camp? You know, you've been went through 10 of them as a player. You've been through more than 10 as a media guy. What do you use to judge a training camp, whether it's been successful or not?
How many guys get hurt, Paul?
Seriously?
How many guys do you actually lose in training camp? Look, I've been around the game way too long. I played with way too many guys that were excellent football players that just approach training camp in a different way. You know, for me, it was a life or death situation. I was digging my nails into my locker. You know, they were going to have to scrape me off that thing. And for me, it was life and death every practice. And it was not like that for so many veterans that were established, guys that were going to be around. So, Paul, it's very difficult for me to actually answer that question. You know, I think it's good that there's high energy defensively, and I think it's also good that Kevin Cobb seems to be grasping the offense here. But, you know, to really judge a preseason or try to quantify it in any way, shape, or form, I don't think it really carries over. That's just my own personal feeling. You know, I could be dead wrong on that. But to me, I'm going to judge a training camp. How healthy do you come out of that training camp?
And you certainly don't judge it by your preseason record. We threw that out the window years ago when the Detroit Lions went 4-0 in the preseason, then went 0-16 in the regular season.
Exhibit A, Paul. I believe really that's Exhibit A to my argument. Thank you.
Yeah. By the way, the news of the day here in Flagstaff today, Kevin Cobb, yes, he will play into the second half, says Kevin Cobb. Rich Bartell will definitely get some reps against San Diego. We have news about that San Diego game, by the way, on Saturday night.
Big news.
And Brody Croyle will get some reps. Just talking to some of the coaches, you will see the newest quarterback in camp. You will see him Saturday night against the San Diego Chargers.
I wonder if Brody Croyle had any of the shrimp creole.
I don't know.
Say that quickly.
We'll find out about our first guest here. GM Rod Graves is right around the corner. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. And we're going to enjoy launching a brand new segment. It's called It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford. What will that mean with Rod Graves? That is next, live from Flagstaff here on Cards Camp.
Larry Fitzgerald's been one of the most dynamic, if not the most dynamic, football player in Cardinals history. We stated earlier this summer that we wanted to see Larry retire as a Cardinal. He said it. We wanted to work on it and get it done before the season started. and we've come to terms on a new 8-year agreement.
I just want to thank the Bidwell family, just how they've taken me in over the years. I feel like I'm one of the family, and I know Michael has worked so hard to get this deal done, and we've had positive dialogue for quite a while, and I know he's worked tirelessly to make this happen, and the Cardinals fans have been nothing but supportive to me and my family. I feel so blessed to be a part of this community, and I'm just happy that I'm going to continue to be a part of it.
Had a chance to go one-on-one with Larry Fitzgerald on Monday and asked him, see, you know what, Larry, you could have tested free agency, but you didn't.
Yep.
And how much did Michael and the Bidwell family have to do with that? And he looked me right in the eye and he said, everything. That had everything to do with it. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley joined by one of those men who had a plan, as Michael referred to in the offseason, GM Rod Grace. Welcome, Rod.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure to be on.
What did you guys, both Michael and you, and from day one, and we saw it when you guys sprung into action, said, you know what, we have a plan. Break that down for us. What did you mean by that exactly?
Well, you know, it started with Michael and his emphasis on us just being prepared and being opportunistic and being able to identify players that we needed to identify in order to help our football team and having a salary cap plan in place, a budget in place, and all those things that we normally have. But, guys, it was just greater emphasis. You know, we look back at 5-11 last year. We knew we didn't want to return. Certainly the previous 2 years had a big impact on us. That's the team that we want to be. And I think Michael's commitment to winning and making sure we're on track sort of resonated through our activities here in the off season.
Now that it's over or almost over, who knows? We're always looking. We know that. But you had that plan. How much of the plan did you fulfill? Because, you know, plans go awry from time to time. And how much of it, can you give us a percentage, Rod, as to how much of that original plan you guys came up with when the lockout was going to end that you actually were able to fulfill?
You know what? I'd have to say, guys, I won't be modest about this one. I'd say in terms of what we were looking to accomplish, we matched that by 100%.
Wow.
We expected to come out of this with a very competitive quarterback and one that would certainly enhance our situation over last year. We expected to upgrade our football team in a number of areas. And in fact, we exceeded what our expectations were. We came out of it with players like Todd Heap and so many other guys that we weren't necessarily targeting at the beginning of free agency. But the one thing that we wanted to do is to remain flexible, remain fluid, and be prepared to and poised to take advantage of opportunities. So from that standpoint, I'd say we met our goals 100%.
GM Rod Grace here on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. In a moment, we'll get to It's All About You. Let me ask you this. If we look back at the 2011 football season and say the most important week of the season was the 5-day stretch where you signed 51 players, would that be overstating it? Would that be media hyperbole and bluster from a blowhard like yours truly? Or could there be some truth to that?
Paul, that may very well be some truth. I mean, if you ask anyone who was right in the middle of it, like myself and so many other people, we'll look back at this time period and say, whiz, how did we ever get it done? I mean, a great credit to the people that I work with, Steve Kine, TJ McCray, to all of our scouts, our coaching staff, so many people involved in having to help. I mean, people even on the business side, from Greg Lee to Dave Kinniger, so many outstanding and talented individuals that help us to prepare for the start of this season and be prepared to go. And I think it was only because of that effort that we were in a position to move as fast and as quickly as we did.
I think I've asked you this before off air, but I'm going to ask you again here because I think the NFL stumbled into some greatness, and the NFL loves to stumble into some greatness. Taking a week and saying it's a free agent frenzy period, Paul, you know how I feel about this. Not to the degree that we saw after the lockout, but how would you feel if the NFL said, you know what, we're going to turn this into an off-season event where we're going to have this one-week period where you can sign these free agents, very similar to what we just saw after the lockout, of course. How would you feel about that, Rod?
I think I'd start looking for another job.
That would be too much if you had to do that all over again.
Well,
huh?
Guys, think about what we missed here in the offseason, the opportunity to work with young players, draft choices, undrafted free agents, the conditioning process, the off-season conditioning, all of that, the mini camp, all of those things that, you know, we have amazingly been able to sort of get past. And a great deal of credit goes to our coaching staff because, you know, here we are at the second preseason game, third coming up on the third preseason game, and the game looks pretty much like it did the third preseason game last year. And the fact that we didn't have an off season and it put a tremendous amount of pressure on our coaching staff, they've responded like so many others across the league. But I think given the choice, we would prefer to have a much orderly process leading up to preseason.
All right, so it is time for It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford. If we had one of those war room cams like they do in the draft, the Wolves referring to, and it was sort of made for TV reality stuff, that 5 days, 51 players, what would we have seen behind the scenes? Would we have seen you like with you know, three phones in your ears? I mean, if it's all about you, what were you like during that stretch?
You know what? Again, it was a frenzy. Let me just put it that way. And it's probably not far from the truth where, you know, you had three and four people on the line at one time. And, you know, but we had so many multiple meetings where Michael Bidwell, myself, Coach Wisenhunt, and Steve Keim, and so many others that, you know, we would meet, discuss options and alternatives. If things weren't quite going our way quickly, we would go to the next option. And we were just poised to make deals. And we had that attitude about it, that, look, you know what, if this guy is not willing to go for what it for what we were looking for, let's move to the next guy. And sometimes you were dealing with four and five agents at one time, literally on the phone. And, you know, it was a wild, crazy process. But again, I'm so proud of our organization that we were able to get through it, and I thought we did it quite well.
What do you do to decompress, by the way? You know, when that was all over, what do? You finally had some downtime. What do you do to get some mental health?
Well, I think you start focusing on Larry Fitzgerald.
That's true. It never did stop, did it?
It never did stop.
It didn't stop. Those must have been some numbers, by the way. I mean, there were numbers, and then there's Larry Fitzgerald numbers when that contract proposal's going through, right?
Well, no doubt about it, but we're so elated to have that deal done and to know that he has an opportunity to retire here as an Arizona Cardinal.
And I know he is absolutely elated about his brand new quarterback. They're almost the same age. They're going to enjoy a birthday within a few weeks of each other, and it looks like they're going to be the combo for many years to come. We will talk about Kevin Cobb with the GM, Rod Graves, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley from Flagstaff and Cards Camp. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford.
Oh, that is a great throw by Kevin Cobb.
It'll be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm already asking the guys some of the questions about the routine being here at home, you know, because we've been on the road the last 2 weeks. So I'm excited about getting that under my belt and seeing what the crowd's about. Seeing, you know, I've only been in the stadium one time, you know, so this week's going to be exciting for me and fresh and new.
Not totally unlike some of the NAU students, some of the freshmen who are moving into the dorms here on campus for the very first time. They're trying to figure out the campus and the layout. Where do I go? Where's the dining hall? Where's my dorm room? Going to be a little bit of that for Kevin Cobb on Saturday night. But we know this. Fans are excited to see Kevin Cobb. Wolf, we saw that at the red and white practice when he had 13,000-plus up here in Flagstaff. And guess what? The game is sold out on Saturday night. The Cardinals and the Chargers, everyone wants to get a glimpse of the brand-new quarterback, Kevin Cobb. Even though individual tickets are available for that game and for others throughout the season, just go to Ticketmaster.com or call 1-800-745-3000. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and GM Rod Graves here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford. So, Rod, some early impressions on Kevin Cobb. It's one thing to know about a guy. It's another thing to, you know, meet a guy and really learn about him. So what are your early impressions of Kevin Cobb?
Well, just the way that he's eased himself in our situation and the leadership role that he's taken. You know, he comes out and just displays a great deal of poise you know, the way he's picked up this offense, I mean, it feels like he's been here before. And I'm really impressed with him. I'm just impressed with the way he handles himself, not only in the huddle, but with his teammates and with the media and so forth. So I'm really encouraged by what I see from Kevin.
Physically, he's been impressive as well, hasn't he?
Well, he has been. And, you know, one of the things that he does not get a great deal of credit for is his athleticism. And I think we've got a guy who is who can make first downs not only with his arm but with his feet. And, you know, his ability to scramble just adds another dimension to our attack and another concern for defenses. So, Ronnie brings a great deal to the table. And, again, I'm very encouraged by what I've seen so far. And let's hope that that manifests itself throughout the season.
He kind of cracked a smile with the media. He's after, you know, a few of those running plays. Said, hey, I had 19 career rushing touchdowns at Houston in college. I could run with that thing a little bit.
Absolutely.
We've also seen the quick release, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Accuracy.
Yes, and it's been outstanding. And I think the only thing left in this equation for him is just getting the timing down and being on the same page with his receivers. And obviously we know he's working very closely with Larry, but, you know, we got a couple other young receivers that we're looking to get acquainted with his style and his delivery and the quickness of all of that. And once that rhythm is in place, guys, I think we're going to end up seeing quite a show.
Another guy that really has been impressive that I know you've got your eye on is Beanie Wells. Your thoughts on Beanie this training camp?
Well, Beanie has had an outstanding training camp. And, guys, there are a number of players like Beanie and Darnell Dockett and Adrian Wilson. And, you know, you can tell that these guys came back after an absent off-season period, but those guys were working, and they came back with an attitude that, hey, 5-11 will not happen on my watch again. And I just think that these guys are ready to make a statement this year. That's the kind of attitude and leadership that we need on this football team, and it's very refreshing to see these guys come in the door with that swagger.
You know, I've talked to a number of players who say there's sort of that quiet confidence, but they like the fact the Cardinals this year coming off the 5-11 are under the radar. Not totally unlike, you know, the playoff years, right? Where all of a sudden everyone sort of forgot about the Cardinals. And this team sort of excels with that chip on the shoulder pad, doesn't it?
Paul, I like that. You know, I like the fact that, you know, as Ken has always said, you know what, let's focus on winning our division. Let's just get into the playoffs, and we know after that anything can happen. And what we saw during that playoff Super Bowl run that we had is that, you know, the lack of respect, it's just the fact that people didn't believe in us, I think fueled our attitudes. And I think, you know, listening to Darnell Dockett and listening to guys that sort of just you know, we're enraged by that. They took it to another level. And I think that this team, while I don't believe we'll be completely under the radar, I think that we are respected out there by a lot of our peers. They look at the talent level we have. They look at the changes that this team has taken and made over the years. And I think they really believe that we're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
It's got to be nice also to get some props nationally. I don't know if you read that. Don't know if you've been watching. But the Cardinals are getting a lot of props from a lot of pundits nationally.
That is great to see, Ron.
How much are you going to be on watch real quick as the cuts are being made, you know, down and getting down to 53 in the next couple of weeks? Are you going to be on point, keeping an eye out in the radar?
No
up?
Question. I mean, that's what we do. We look at for opportunities to improve our football team. And, you know, I think it's going to be harder and harder each year as we become a better football team to do that. But there's always opportunities for depth and chances to really increase the overall strength of your team.
Are you all set at running back right now, or are we going to see even more moves?
I think we could see more moves, but we're giving Alphonso Smith an opportunity, and I think we'll see a little bit more of Stevens Howling carrying the ball this weekend. So the story is not told completely at that position, but I think we've got some guys. If we had to run, we could make it work with these guys.
How does Darnell Dockett tell the story? That's next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford.
Rodgers takes and hands it off. Draw play, Grant. Big hole, but Dockett just slams down Grant at the 24-yard line. Rodgers, five-step drop, in trouble. Down he goes, sacked at the 47. Dockett got him from behind. Boy, the Cardinals' pass rush looking pretty good so far tonight.
You got to love that right there. The Arizona Cardinals walked up. That is the fire zone blitz.
Indeed. I tell you what, Aaron Rodgers was in trouble when 9-0 got his hands on him, no doubt about it. Over the years, A guy who's put the big into Big Red Rage this year, presented by Santan Ford. Definitely Darnell Dockett, who joins us now. And, Doc, we were looking at this. Year number 8 with the Cardinals?
What?
Is that accurate? That's mind-bending, mind-blowing
what?
Stuff. This is your 8th season?
Yeah, man. It's my 8th season, man. I'm blessed, man.
Wow. How does it feel to you? Has it been a blur, or does it feel like 8 seasons?
Nah, man. You know, it's funny because I don't even feel that I reached my prime yet. You know, I still get up early in the morning. I still work hard. I still have to practice. I'm always doing extra things in the weight room. You know, it's a blessing, man. You know, I'm very blessed to have to play the position I've been playing at defensive tackle, one of the most physical positions on the field, to be able to just contribute so much off the field and on the field, and you know, saying try to run with the best of them.
So, Darnell, when you look back on your 8-year career, what keeps you up at night? What is the one thing where you stop and you think, I can get better at? I should be improving. Some area of your game that you look back and you say, you know what? I've got some unfulfilled business out there.
Me personally, man, I think I owe it to myself to go out and just try to be the best. Like these young guys definitely keeping me on my toes, though. When I look up and I watch a little bit of film on Dominique Sue, and you know, then you look at Raji at Green Bay, and those are some guys you look at that people kind of get the buzz about. But I feel like I'm that guy, and no matter what people may say, I feel like I'm in a league of my own, and I feel like I'm the only one that can stop me. And the work that I put in, the concentration that I do for games, the training, and the whole nine. I just feel like I want to be the best.
On that note right there, Doc, how are you fitting into this new defense with Ray Horton as a DC?
I'm learning it. It's funny, man, because I'm not going 100% out there like I did last training camp, because sometimes I'm hesitating on certain things, but it's coming along. You know, I'm not where I was 2 days ago. I'm not where I was last week. So it's a growing process, and this training camp definitely – you know, help me as an individual to learn this scheme. I do think the offseason definitely hurt us, you know, with the OTAs and the mini camps. If we would have had those, our defense would be much more advanced right now. But we learned it, and it's good. It's a good scheme, and it's going to win us some ball games. And that's what it's all about. You know, me and Calais talked, and I said, you know what, if we don't go out here and have a million sacks, so what? Let's be the most dominant players on the field, and let's stop the run, and let's do what we do best, and let's win ball games, and that's what we want to do at the end of the day.
Darnell Dockett on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford. Is there an easy way to explain to the fans how the defense will look different this year under Ray Horton?
It's more aggressive. We ain't sitting back, but we shooting bullets, and it's a whole bunch of them. They coming from a whole bunch of places, and it's good. It's good because we're not sitting back letting teams dictate what we do. They have to stop us. And that's the attitude that we got right now. But the most important thing of our defense is everybody got a job. And you can't get caught doing somebody else's job. You do your job best to your ability, and you try your best. And that's going to win us ball games.
Doc, one of the things that I was really impressed with last season was your leadership. You know, that's something that I think the Arizona Cardinals have been waiting for. I think it's something you've been waiting for. You know, now you're 8 once again, and you really were a leader in last year's training camp. Do you feel the yoke of responsibility that comes with that?
Of course. I accept it. I accept it with passion, and I know that I can get guys ready to play. I can get guys prepared for the week. I'm not more so of a yelling guy and trying to get on people and a rah-rah guy.
But it means you can't take a play off.
Nah, but I also know that it starts in the beginning of the week. You know, a good leader have guys ready on Mondays in practice. Tuesdays, on the off day, have people lifting weights. On Wednesdays, on Thursdays, leaders just don't show up on game day. You know, good leaders show up all week long, and they not the rah-rah guys. They the guys that's getting everybody ready in the weight room, getting everybody ready in the film room, getting everybody together after practice to have that camaraderie. That's what leadership is to me. And to go out there and play it at a high level so guys can look at you and see, okay, well, Doc is doing it at a high level. Let me follow behind him. Let me see what he's doing to be successful.
You got to do, Paul. You got to do. That's something you never do.
You know when Wolf gets fired up, by the way, when the whole defensive front is just standing.
Oh.
You guys are just sort of standing around, and then boom, the ball snapped, and you
what
go.
Is
how crazy
that?
Is that?
That's what you want, man. That's what I told you about them bullets.
That I do. I get absolutely fired up. I see seven guys standing around, seven big red guys standing around, milling around, and you don't know who's coming.
Exactly.
That's the power of the Fire Zone Blitz.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right, one more segment with Darnell Dockett. You got Darren College standing by as well. It is the Big Red Rage. And yes, 2011 was a good year for Chevy, but don't take our word for it. See your Valley Chevy dealers today or visit valleychevy.com. More right after this. The Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford.
Selleck releasing in the flat. Unfortunately for him, because Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
Felt good to be back out, still getting some rest off. We'll see where I'm at, you know, September. The guys are very excited, and I'm very excited as well. And I'm just going to continue to rehab and continue to do the things I need to do. I think I played enough football to know what my body can take and what it can't take.
The fact Adrian Wilson wasn't in a good mood, I take that as good news. With the bicep tendon injury, that's just me. You know, in fact, he's giving the media a hard time, calling us out by name. He's messing with the guys. I don't know. He's not saying. I'm just thinking he might be tracking and trending for Week One against Carolina, and maybe Cam Newton when he's in town.
He gave me a gunshot, Paul. I don't know if you knew that. He gave me a gunshot. I saw that bicep.
Have you seen that
gross.
Darnell Dockett? Have you seen when he does the flex and or describe it, Wolf? He's got sort of. I mean, he's got a tear in the muscle.
Yeah,
that's my boy, man. I got a lot of respect for Adrian, man. He, you know, we call ourselves Decepticons. You know what I'm saying? We built different. We play different. And it don't surprise me that he's going to give everything he got injured or not. That's just his makeup.
Just seeing him out there, too, kind of an emotional lift for a lot of the guys, isn't it?
No question. Anytime I see two fullback there, I know what time it is. It's game time. So I'm not worrying about it. I mean, very unfortunate that he has, you know, missed a couple weeks with the injury. But the main thing about it, we don't need him in Green Bay. We don't need him in San Diego. We need him against Carolina and the start of the season. And that's when all the bullets fly.
So we understand tonight is showtime. The rookie show is – so what are you guys in store for tonight? Break that down for the fans.
Oh, man, I don't even know. But I know I get on rookies a hard time, so I know they're going to have a good skit for me. But they better be careful because they got 16 more weeks with me. So they better be real careful.
What'd you have to do in your rookie show? Were you part of a skit? What'd you do?
Yeah, me and Carlos Dansby did the imitation of Denny Green and Deke Pollard, which is like was probably the funniest rookie show of all time.
And who was Denny?
Carlos Dansby had the box fade with the high socks.
Yeah. I see.
It's classic.
And how did Coach Green take that?
He laughed. And it was funny. This is probably one of the first times I've ever seen Coach Green laugh. And, you know, he's always serious, but we had fun that day. We had definitely fun. And that was the mark of Erica, of a class that came in that was able to put Arizona back on the map. And, we was blessed to be a part of that with me, Carlos, Dansby, Antonio Smith, Fitzgerald, all of us.
You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars have outlawed any hazing whatsoever of the rookies this year with Jack Del Rio as their head coach. How do you feel about that, Doc? How do you feel about that, and how has it changed since when you came in 8 years ago?
I think all rookies got to pay their dues. You know,
amen.
I think Jack Del Rio, he played football a long time, but it's not about the coaches. It's about the guys that's paying the respect of guys that's been in the league that had to do the same thing. And I don't believe in hitting the players and doing all that and cutting their hair. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. But if I wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and I feel like I want a milkshake, you best believe I'm gonna call that rookie to go get that milkshake. And actually I did that last night. About 11:45, I was feeling hungry. So I sent one of the rookies over here to give me a turkey club, lettuce, tomatoes, and I told him I want the sandwich cut in half. I want approximately 7 chips and a Gatorade. And can you believe he bought me back the wrong Gatorade?
Oh my goodness.
Bought me back the wrong Gatorade.
The nerve of that rookie.
And everybody look at Dockett like, Doc is the man, you got to be careful him because you don't tell him what he going to do. But I sent him back anyway, and he went all the way back to campus to go get that Gatorade. And that's just to teach him a lesson.
That's because you're in the hotel now. So you know, he's not just walking next door. He had to go all the way back.
It's far. And you should have saw. And I said, and then when he came in the room, I said, what Gatorade did I ask for? He said, you asked for grape. I said, what colors? They said, oh my God. And I was like, yeah, well, think about it on your way back to go get the great one. I'll be back. And
you had to consider yourself lucky, though, Doc, because back in my day when I came out, they used shears all right, but it had nothing to do with the hair on your head.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, that's TMI.
See, yeah, that's too much for me.
Yeah.
I don't get it all.
Wait. I remember last year, though, you were giving Dan Williams a hard time, and I think you were preparing him for the rookie dinner he was going to have to, you know, put the credit card out on. I think your line was, I'm going to order lobster as an appetizer and not eat it. I think that was your line as you were getting them ready. You got your money's worth in that dinner, didn't you?
Yeah, we ran a bill up probably about a little bit over
$15,000. Yeah. Hey, now.
Interesting.
Okay, all right.
This year, I think I'm going to Patrick Peterson rookie night, though.
I was going to say, are you eligible as a D lineman to go to Patrick Peterson's rookie night?
I'm in my eighth year. I'm going to anybody on defense rookie night I want to.
Quickly, speaking of those young guys, you mentoring some of these young guys? Do they ask questions?
They always ask questions. Carter, Lumpkin, they always listening. And they got the right attitude, man. Those guys are going to be some good players for us.
Really?
And I'm proud to say that because they work and they listen. They do everything you're supposed to do. And that's what we need. We need depth on. We need young depth. And that's the counter that we need for our championship run.
Doc, thank you very much. We look forward to this season. Always our pleasure to have you on the Big Red Rage.
Man, it's my pleasure to be on, man. I enjoy being with y'all guys, man.
And we'll see if he commandeers my sideline headset this year like he did last year in preseason game number 4.
Yeah, I think that's coming.
Yeah.
That's coming up.
That might happen. You know what else is coming up right here, right now? Darren College on the O-line. What does he think when they do the fire zone blitz? We'll get his thoughts next.
Here comes Kevin Cobb, the new Arizona Cardinals starting quarterback.
The biggest key is trust, and the guys have done great so far. The biggest thing that we and I want in the huddle is just guys that will fight for you. You know, I mean, that's, you can get beat here and there, but just make sure you're coming up to fight, and you're going to keep working, and you're never going to give up.
There you go, Kevin Cobb and his O-line. How about the O-line on Kevin Cobb? Well, for that, we go to Darren College, who joins us here in the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and the newest member of the Cardinals O-line, fresh off a trip to Green Bay. So you got that out of the way. I guess that's good news, right? You got the homecoming back to Green Bay, where you had started and played the vast majority of your career, and now, boom, that's done, and I imagine you can focus after that, huh?
Yeah, you know, everybody was asking what it was going to be like to go back and, you know, what was going to be the Super Bowl stuff and all that kind of stuff. And I was always like, you know, that chapter's closed, but I think finally it's closed. Going back and get one game with those guys and playing that last game there, that helped close that and move on. Now it's time to work on this next championship.
Darren, were you a little bummed out, though, that you didn't get to go to the White House?
Well, of course. You know, you're disappointed. It's something that's part of the whole deal. You know, you win that championship, you get that ring, you go to the White House, you meet the president. That's part of the deal. And to not get to do that, it was more of a disappointment to not get to join my teammates and be a part of that, you know. But there was a lot of guys that didn't get to. You know, we had a lot of guys that were on different teams and they decided the logistics wouldn't work out and they couldn't get us all out there. And, that's how some of that stuff shakes down. Life's not fair.
And if it wasn't for the lockout, it would happen earlier in the off season. So I guess it was a casualty of the timing in a way.
Exactly. Yeah. Casualty of timing. Yeah. But you know what? I'm perfectly happy. I'm here. I got a new contract. I'm going to be here for the next 5 years protecting our quarterback, and I think I'll take that over the White House visit.
So you heard the quarterback in the O-line. Your thoughts on the quarterback, Kevin Cobb?
He's great. You know, he's excited. You know, he's a guy that you want to play for. He's already trying to take control of that huddle. You know, he's one of those guys that he's in there grinding. He's trying to find a way to get better every single day. And you can see him making that adjustment, making that progression. You know, we got into our first game. I think we had about 15 minutes of practice, it felt like, by the time we got to that first game. And, you know, we're all out there swimming a little bit. But you can kind of feel each game that everybody is getting a little more confident and guys are starting to figure out a little better. And he's out there kind of getting a little bit of that swagger going. I told him that's what it's all about. You start playing with that swagger, you start playing with that speed, and then this game's downhill, and you're playing much faster than everybody else.
Specifically, Darren, what made Arizona attractive to you?
Well, you know, there was a lot of things. You know, the opportunity to come out here and play in this division, I thought this was a team that it was in a championship a couple of years ago. You know, this team has all the parts to be a successful organization. Now, it had a bad run last year, and those things happen. I did one of those in Green Bay. But I think that we have the guys here and the chemistry here and the coaches here to get it done and win. And I looked at it and said, this is a project, this opportunity to come in and be a piece, fill in for a legend, and try to help this team win a championship. And I've done it, and I know what a championship feels like, and I want to go back. And we chose this place because we thought thought it gave us the best opportunity to go back and do it again.
When you say a legend, whom are you speaking of?
Well, I'm talking about Big Red. I'm talking about Alan Fanica. I mean, wow. Am I allowed to say his name even?
Oh, no, absolutely.
That's very cool.
Oh, yeah.
That is very cool. Yeah. That guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day.
Absolutely. He's probably one of the best guards to play in our generation. He's an amazing player, and it'll be a lot of shoes to fill, and I hope people don't expect it to happen right away. I've got a lot of learning to do, and I got a lot of progress to make as an offensive lineman for the Cardinals, but hopefully we can kind of pick up where he left off and continue success that we expect on this offensive line.
How much early in the season especially do you think that learning curve will still be navigated by this offense? Meaning, you know, from week 1 to week 10 to week 16, how much better do you think the offense will get as you go along?
Well, I think it's got nowhere to go but up. I mean, when you don't have OTAs, you don't have IPWs, you're behind the eight ball. And we knew that was going to be the situation with the lockout, no matter what team you were on. But I think we've made some great jumps in the first two games, and we expect to take another jump. We feel like if we can keep taking steps forward, the sky's the limits. We've done nothing out there that has allowed anybody to stop us. We've shot ourselves in the foot more than anything, and that's just been penalties. That's just getting used to having guys out there, a couple guys going the wrong way because they're getting used to new plays and stuff like that. So we feel like when everybody's on the same page, this offense is going to be – I mean, people are talking about the 08 team, so –
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Darren. I watch you in one-on-one pass rush drills, and your technique is dang near flawless. And I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here right now. What do you consider the strength of your game?
Well, I think most people tell you I've been a better pass pro than I've been a run blocker. Run blocking is one of those things that I've continued to work on every day. I'm not a BK. I'm not a Deuce Latou. I'm not 350, not 370. I'm out there, you know, I'm trying to make it at 310 pounds, but I'm a guy that wants to get out in space and work work with guys at different levels. So for me, I'm going to continue to work every day being a better run blocker, but pass pro is something I want to fall back on. I want Kevin to know that when he drops back in that seven-step, that five-step drop, nothing's coming off that left side. Me and Levi have gotten protected. Watch that front side, get that ball out there and make plays because there's a special guy out there catching him. So we want to know that he's safe, and he wants to play that up-tempo game too. So I think we're going to have a nice little fit.
How long does it take to get that chemistry going with your left tackle, the guy right next to you and Levi Brown? Will that be a process as well, or where are you on that equation?
Well, you know, the great thing is I came from a talented left tackle in Shaq Clifton, and I walked right into another talented one with Levi Brown. So for me, it's a situation where I just need to catch up with him and Lyle. You know, I need to make sure that I want to know what Levi and what Lyle are thinking about in every play. And right now, I'm probably annoying the heck out of them because I'm asking them a million questions. I'm like, hey, you know, if that guy shifted a little bit, what are you thinking? Do you want to make a call or do you not want to make a call? You just want us to be on the same page? What do you think? Because I just want to – we want to get to the point where we're out there. We're just reacting. We're not trying to figure it out. We're not trying to talk it out. We're just out there responding to what the defense is doing. And our defense has given us a great opportunity to do that with these new blitzes they've gotten, this fire zone stuff. They're giving us an opportunity where we've just got to get out there and read and react. So for me, I'm just got to step my game up and catch up with these guys. And once I have this offense down and I'm out there just playing on instincts, then we've got the opportunity to play downhill.
What are your thoughts of Russ Grimm as a coach?
Well, you know what? He's a special guy. He's definitely a great guy. But I kind of looked at a guy like him and Coach Wiz, and I said, as an offensive lineman, if you're coming here and you're not getting better, you're not getting better anywhere. So this, for me, was the best opportunity to be under some of the best coaches I could find.
Hey, look for the Cards Ultimate Fan Cave Contest coming soon exclusively to the Room Store. Be sure to register at any Room Store location for a chance to win the Ultimate Fan Cave. So Levi and Lyle, are they the Twitter guys? You know, can we find them on Facebook? You know, you're out there on the social media. What about your teammates there?
You know, I don't think Levi's out there, and I don't even think Lyle even knows what Twitter is. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think I saw him just a couple days ago. I think he was still using a sidekick. So, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be out there on that stuff. But there's a couple guys. I'm getting Kevin working. He's still trying to figure the whole thing out, but we're going to get him going.
Solid. More with Darren Collins right after this on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford.
Going to be a run play to Wells, right side. Big hole at the 45 of the 50. Stiff arm at the 40. Wells at the 30. Wells at the 20.
Looks like Beanie's improving and getting to what we want him to be. I have to compliment Beanie, not so much about how he played, but how he's working at it.
I don't really say I like to go out and prove people wrong, but, you know, I have a lot of people saying what I can't do and, you know, who I'm not. And I just want to go out there and just have fun playing football. And, you know, I haven't done that yet. You know, when you're having fun, yeah, I think things are going well on all cylinders. I'm looking forward to making that happen.
Beanie Wells has the sort of season he intends to have, that he wants to have, that he's capable of having, then he might be taking his offensive lineman out for a nice dinner. Or maybe they'll get a watch, or maybe there'll be some other gift down the line at the end
not
of the season.
Not a bad idea, Paul.
No, not at all. A nod of approval, I would imagine, from Darren College, who joins us on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and the newest member of the O-line. By the way, you can find him Twitter handle, Darren College 71. That's D-A-R-Y-N, College, C-O-L-L-E-D-G-E, and then Facebook.com/Darren College. So how long you been there on the social media kind of stuff? Because I know we started camp by me posing the question, hey, Darren, you're from the North Pole? So, you know, go fill that in, because I know you fielded that question. It's not quite as it sounds, is it?
No. I'm from a small town called North Pole, but I was born in Fairbanks. It's just, you know, it's one of those towns. They're just committed to, you know, they got an idea and they said, you know, we're going to run with this. We got the candy cane light poles. We got all that kind of stuff. But it's a small community. If you're an outdoor person, it's an amazing place. But, yeah, I do get a couple of those. I get a couple of those turns. A couple of those. What?
So you it's know, North Pole, Alaska,
yes,
just to clarify.
Exactly,
yes.
Paulie. Well done right there. Listening to that cut right there from Beanie Wells, talking about having fun. When Darren College is having fun, are you laughing in between the white lines, or do you got a snarl on your face?
I'm pretty much trying to suck all the oxygen out of the stadium. Most of the time, I'm hyperventilating. You know, I'm just trying to survive out there. You know, I'm not one of those skinny guys like, you know, Beanie out there having a good time. But you know, when you're playing that kind of game and you're running the ball, and Beanie's going to have those games where you have those big games, that's when football's fun. When you're dominating the team and you're running the ball where you want, and you know you got the opportunity to do that, There's nothing better than that. You know, when you can cut a defense up, you know you're demoralizing that squad.
Especially when you're wiping blood on your pants, Paul.
He took A.J. Hawk for a little bit of a ride in that first half at Green Bay. That was good to see, huh?
Yeah, Beanie's not a small cat. I think Beanie's at his best when we can get him in that second level and he can put his foot down, because he's either going to run you over or he's going to run past you. So for us, you know, we've told ourselves, if we can get Beanie past that first level, we're going to have an opportunity for him to make some big yards.
You know, that's what Fitz said the other day, is he just tries to get out of Beanie's way. You know, he tries to get in the way of the defender, make his block, but simultaneously get out of Beanie's way so it doesn't run up his back.
Oh, he ran me over yesterday. He had to come back and apologize. I'm pulling around on a counter, and I don't remember, if it was fullback or the tight end was in the way, so I had to kind of hesitate for a second, and he jacks me in the back. I spear the linebacker, makes a great hole for him, and I'm thinking, I about had a concussion. I'm like, come on, Beanie.
Is that why you were in the cold tub today?
I'm in a cold tub every day. I'm too old. I'm 29 years old, living in a 65-year-old man's body.
Listening, so. You know, just listening to you talk right now, you're obviously a very intelligent, very articulate guy, well-spoken here. Would you like to dispel the myth that offensive linemen are stupid?
You know, we just play stupid, you know, because if we play stupid, then people don't ask us too many questions, and most guys don't want that radio and that TV time. So, and don't get me wrong, there's some dumb dudes out there.
You know what? It's so true, but there are in life, you know? Yeah. I mean, think about it.
We got a very intelligent offensive line, though. My left tackle went to Penn State, for God's sakes. I went to Boise State. I mean, come on.
What was that like? What was your best year at Boise State? Because I'm trying to think. I mean, had you guys already made it, or were you still the up-and-coming Boise State program?
We were the up-and-coming. When I joined Boise State, we'd been the WAC for 1 year. I joined them in the second season, the WAC, and that's when we started our run. Dan Hawkins was there. I went 11-1 my first year, 12-1, then 13-1, and then a pitiful 9-4. I missed being the all-time winningest player in college football by one game. How about that?
Are you serious? Really?
Little-known fact. How about that?
Wow.
And you played left tackle at Boise State.
52 games straight. Set a record.
Very interesting. Well, Darren, we enjoyed it. We thoroughly enjoyed the visit, no doubt about it. You know, you'll see me down on the sideline, just like, you know, you look out for Beanie Wells, I look out for big guys like you. I always have my head on a swivel. Please, if you're running out of bounds on some sort of block and you're pile driving some guy out, try not to hit the pencil neck sideline radio guy, okay?
I make no promises.
I see.
Do you have a segue, by the way? Do you have that segue?
I can't lie. I fell into the trap. I bought a segue. Kevin suckered me into it, and I got one.
Wow. Who got the commission on that? Kevin, maybe?
I hope he got a little bit.
Yeah, I see. All right. Darren College, ladies and gentlemen, on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford, as we continue from Cards Camp at Flagstaff.
Thanks, Darren.
Darren College, very impressive guy. He's been impressive on the field, very impressive here in the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford.
Yeah, absolutely, Paulie. You know, he's going to be a good fit, I think, for this offensive line and for this football team. One of the strengths he also has, it's not only his pass protection and his ability to pass protect, and I'm telling you, I watch him every day in one-on-one pass rush, and his technique is just excellent. His base is excellent. His punch, of course, and, you know, he uses his hands so well. And it's not only that. It's not only the pass protection. protection, Paulie. It's also the zone scheme, and I think we're going to see an awful lot of the tackle zone. This is something that's been around for a long, long time. Of course, it started with the Denver Broncos and Alex Gibbs up there in Denver years ago, and now it's permeated the rest of the NFL. And Darren College is a guy that is a bit of a finesse left guard and a guy that operates within that zone scheme very, very, very well. And he knows it well because the Green Bay Packers run it over and over and over again with Ryan Grant. So I'm really looking forward to it. But he was a smart guy, wasn't he?
You know, he was. Absolutely. I mean, I had our own conversation about him, you know, North Pole, Alaska, and all these stories about that. And, I mean, how do you put a value, too, on a guy who just won a ring with the Green Bay Packers? That experience he brings to the O-line.
Yeah, and you know what? Darnell Dockett, the conversation, I really enjoyed that as well. Darnell taking on a leadership role here with the team. And you know what? He's got to step up. This team is counting on Darnell Dockett to step up and play like the Darnell Dockett of 2-3 years ago.
No doubt about it. And, of course, we had Rod Graves in this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. That was enlightening as well, as the Cardinals had the plan. They executed that plan. I still say you're going to look back at the end of the season to maybe the most important week of the season. Won't be a game week. It'll be that week where in 5 days they signed 51 players. Special thanks to Jim Almohandro, Walt Ellis, James Mello, Charlie Feinerman, Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. We will join you next on Saturday. San Diego pregame coverage starts at 4 on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. The game is a sellout. Everybody wants to see Kevin Cobb and company. We continue to roll on all season long on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford.
Jaw!
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford.
The Arizona Cardinals select Patrick Peterson.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.